This is the Carl DeMasi Sports Report.
Excited to be back here again to talk about local sports. And that's what the show's about, local sport.
On ESPN Radio, Savannah Hilton Head, AM 1400, and FM 104.3.
And good morning, Savannah and the Low Country, and welcome to the Carl DeMasi Sports Report. It's the Coach and Makos, and it's right here on ESPN Radio Savannah Hilton Head. It's October 21st. It's 63 degrees outside. It feels like football season. And once again, I'm live in the Savannah Mall studio with my new co-host, my sidekick, and that's, of course, she makes me look good. She sounds good. Well, she's going to tell you her voice hurts, but she sounds a lot better than last week. This is our second show. It's the Coach and Makos. Melissa, great to have you in the studio again, and it seems like we're going to have a lot of fun again.
Oh, I can't wait. Yes, I'm still nursing a sore voice, you know, yelling at those students during the week.
You don't yell. You encourage
just
them.
Just kidding. Yes, I motivate them.
She motivates them.
I'm super excited about this week. We got a lot of good stuff going on, a lot of good football going on, and some golf, and breast cancer awareness. I'm so excited.
Talking about the show, we're going to start off after we do the local score, the local news, whatever we're going to talk about, just to get you updated on high school sports and whatever. The first part of every show is going to be fitness first. That's right. Off the top on Mike and Mike. Well, we're going to go fitness first, of course, with Makos, Melissa Makos. She's going to bring in somebody that has done something special in the area, who has been recognized for what they've done. And we got a great guest, and that'll be in the second quarter of the first hour. And you want to give a little plug to your guest?
Oh, it's my girl, Trina Pinckney. This girl is a rock star, a beast. Fill in the blank. She is that, because she's absolutely amazing. Her journey in fitness has taken her from close to 300 pounds down to where she's at right now, winning these weightlifting competitions, going to CrossFit competitions. Carl, I'm going to get you out to CrossFit one of these days, because Trina motivates so many people to come out to CrossFit and to come out and just start moving and start shaking, because anybody can do it, and anybody can do it if they put their mind to it, and she is the perfect example of it. And now she's winning these competitions. She's sponsored. She's just a beast, and she's amazing and my role model. I love her.
Well, and I'm not making excuses. I just got to find time to fit it in there, okay? So, and then in the third quarter of the first game, which is from 9 to 10, we're going to cross the river now, because we are Savannah Hilton Head, and yes, we are live on 92.7 FM on Hilton Head Island. We're going to talk to our first Hilton Head guest, and that's Hilton Head head coach BJ Payne. So the Hilton Head Seahawks head football coach BJ Payne, and what a way to kick it off.
Yes.
Football.
That's okay. Right. I'm excited about talking to the Seahawks head coach, because when I was working for WTOC, I would go out to Hilton Head all the time, cover Hilton Head Christian, Hilton Head High, Buford, Hilton
Battery
Head
Creek,
Prep. Christian.
Some new ones, though. Whale Branch. You weren't there when Whale Branch was there, were you?
No.
May River. You weren't there when May River was there. So
you're making me feel old.
Okay. I'm not trying to make her feel old. I'm just trying to let her in on the news. And then we'll take the last segment, and we'll take two trending topics in the world of sports. We'll break it down. We'll give you one national, one local. We'll go from there. Okay. Then let's talk about hour number two, game number two from 10 until 11. We'll start it out with, once again, talk about local scores, local news, give you an update. We're going to have the Weatherington Chiropractic Clinic Athlete of the Week, junior high school softball player. She's also a pitcher, but she's very good at hitting. Melissa, she finished with a batting average of 718.
That's ridiculous. That's some, like, Xbox numbers right there. If softball was on Xbox, which I think we should get that
we
started.
Should get it, yes,
yeah, we should patent that.
We should make a lot of money.
Over 700 batting average, that's more than Hall of Fame. That's, like, professional level right here.
What bothers me, though, is that people say to you, well, coach, she played against Beach, Johnson, Savannah. Girl hit 718. That's mind-boggling.
One of the hardest things to do in sports is to hit a moving ball. And in softball, it doesn't matter if you're throwing 70 miles an hour, 50 miles an hour, 45. It doesn't matter. You still got to put the bat to the ball, and you got to put it in play. It's 1 versus 9. And this girl clearly is putting that ball in play to hit 700, over 700. So impressed. And as a former softball player, over 700, I would not want to pitch against her.
And like I said, I got to send out a big kudos for Dennis Knight for choosing Rebecca as athlete of the week 2 weeks ago. Just a great girl, great kid. She was on my show last year, only a sophomore. She pitched, I think, a no-hitter when I had her on. So this is the second time on this show. But I'm telling you right now, 7-18. It's pretty impressive. Then we're going to talk to our man, the former Georgia Bulldog. He's going to do the Bulldog talk. Kevin Jackson, even though there's no game, he's going to break down last week's game, which we were all off. But
way off.
You want to hear somebody excited about Georgia football? Just talk to Kevin Jackson.
Yeah, KJ is the best when you're talking about the Bulldogs. But, yeah, we were off last week, I mean, with our scores.
Yes, we were.
I think it's my fault.
No, it's not your fault.
Because I can't predict. I can't predict. I like to just watch. Let me just watch the game and not say a word about the score.
All right, let's get right away to the local scores and news. Remember, we are your source for Atlanta Falcon football, Atlanta Hawks basketball, Atlanta Braves baseball, UGA football, UGA sports. So let's get right to it. Pro football, Falcons heartbreaker. They jumped out 17-0 on Miami last week. They wound up losing 20-17. And I know I'm going to hear it right now because on Sunday Night Football, they take on the New England Patriots. And if you know anything about my buddy here, even though she's got to start getting up on the Falcons news, she's a Patriots fan because she spent some time at Boston College. So
it's a rematch of the Super Bowl from last year. And did somebody say 28-3? 28-3.
All right, remember, we are the flagship station for the Atlanta Falcons.
Yes. You know, Matt Ryan is my boy. I went to Boston College, so...
So you're not going to be a little torn with this tomorrow night?
I was torn during the Super Bowl, okay. But, you know, I was loving it when the Falcons were doing well. It was very bittersweet for Matty Ice to lose, but, you know, I am a Patriots fan, and I got to be loyal, and I got to stick with my Pats.
Okay.
Hashtag TB12.
All right, so that's tomorrow night, 8:30. You can listen right on ESPN Radio Savannah Hilton Head. We are your source for Atlanta Falcon football. Pro basketball, the Hawks are off to a 1-1 start. Opened up. They beat Dallas. They came back and lost last night to the Charlotte Hornets, 109-91. They take on the Brooklyn Nets tomorrow in Brooklyn. So Coney Island, you got to get some hot dogs, get on the Cyclone. You know what I mean. College football, UGA is off. The Bulldogs are off, so you're not going to hear any Bulldog football today right here on ESPN Radio Savannah. They're 7-0. I didn't type that over, so but they're 7-0, 3-0 in SEC play, so they're off. Georgia Tech plays Wake Forest tonight at 7:30 up there in the ATL. Georgia Southern got on a plane, drove up to UMass.
That's right.
So both of them have not won. So somebody's going to come out with a win tonight.
Let's hope it's Georgia Southern. They really could use a win to boost their confidence.
You got it. The Eagles need to soar. And then our only Division I football team here in Savannah, and that's, of course, the Savannah State Tigers travel to Charleston today. They play at 6 o'clock. They're 0-6 going into the game. They've been in 0-6. They've been in at least four of those games. Much improved. They just can't find a win.
They got to get that monkey off their back. I thought it was going to be last weekend, but that's all right. They're getting closer and closer and closer. You just got to keep chipping away at it, and hopefully they'll come away with the W tonight.
And we got to go to SCAD. Okay, believe it or not, they do play sports over there. Their women's soccer team right now is 8-7-1 overall, 3-5 in the Sun Conference. They remain on the road today. They'll be playing at Ave Maria down in Florida at 3 p.m. The men's soccer team is 5-7. They got off the snide. They broke a three-game losing streak on Wednesday. They're also playing Ave Maria, but they're playing over the bridge at Hardeeville. So if you want to check out some college soccer, head over to SCAD, go right over the bridge, go right to the Equestrian Center and the sports complex. And this is something special. They have bowling. Yes, the women's team and the men's team were in a tournament last week. They were at the University of they competed against the University of Central Florida and University of South Florida on Saturday and Sunday, respectively. The ladies finished second, the men finished fourth. So we do have college bowling in Savannah, Georgia.
That's awesome.
Yep.
I'm terrible at bowling, but I do enjoy it. I don't like the shoes, but hey.
Okay, so let's get rolling here. PGA Tour, they're still playing. Champions Tour, Gene Sounds is playing at Dominion Energy. Okay, slow down, coach.
Dominion
supposed to be slowing
Energy
down.
Charity
there you go.
Classic.
All right, he is tied for eighth. He's 3 under. He shot a 69. He's 2 off the lead in the Charles Schwab Cup. He's still 14th. PGA, Brian Harman took a trip to Korea for the CGA Cup and Nine Bridges Tournament. All right, he's right now tied for 10th after 3 rounds. He's 5 under. He's 4 off the lead. And who's leading?
Justin Thomas.
So not bad company right there, right?
Right. So. Brian Harman's a special type of golf player for sure. I love hearing our local athletes doing so well.
You got the chance to cover him while you were
I did. He's a nice young man. Awesome golf.
All right. And the PGA Latino American Tour, we have two guys from Savannah, Mark Silvas and Tim O'Neill. They're playing at the Lexus Peru Open, okay, and that's down in Peru. Mark Silvas is tied for 13th after 2 rounds, 4 under. Tim O'Neill is tied for 57th at 2 under. All right, we got some special events that we got to talk about quick. St. Vincent's of Calgary did a great job.
Yesterday
they donated some money. Life.
Yes, $3,200 to mammography, to breast cancer awareness with their Pink Out that they play against each other every year, Calgary and St. Vincent's. Gotta love it. They played on October 2nd, donated $3,200 for breast cancer research. That's really impressive. Love those girls. And then we also have the Fireball 40. Go to fireball40.org and check out the story of Corey Wilson. Over 8,000 people have been educated about AEDs, and those are defibrillators. And they've got them, you know, all over the place now. And it's just a special event. It was supposed to be held back in August, and they had to reschedule it because of the weather. And I'm so glad they rescheduled it for this weekend. But it's a baseball tournament. Go check it out. It's here in Savannah at what park?
Still Park.
That's right. Okay, that's right.
So Scottsdale Park out in Savannah, right off of 204. Get out there, support them. Okay, it's the fifth annual. It's heart wrenching. My boys, Russell and Dom, knew Corey very well. They played baseball with him. Sitting in a classroom at Georgia Southern, had a AFib. Went into a heart attack. There was no AED. So his parents are on a quest to make sure that people, that places have AED. And I'm walking down here. I was thinking about this tournament. We got to talk about it. And somewhere along one of these walls, the AED defibrillator is sitting right there. So
yeah, you know, we have them at the YMCA, and we're trained on it, especially
right.
You know, when we take our CPR classes. And it's a beautiful thing because we've had to take it out a couple times at the YMCA. Luckily, we haven't had to use it. But just having it there,
right.
Having them on planes, having them at baseball stadiums, They need them. And this is a great organization and a great charity event. If you can't make it out to the tournament, go to thefireball40.org. You can donate. Check out Corey's story. Like Carl said, it is heart-wrenching, but we need to bring awareness to what can happen and how effective an AED can be in saving lives.
And all the money raised goes to getting AEDs into places. I think they've gotten something like they've reached like 8,000 people, over 320 AEDs put throughout Savannah, Georgia. Kenny and Lisa Wilson do a great job. They run the whole charity, and it's for a great cause. And always the good die young. Corey Wilson was a great kid. Savannah Christian Raider passed away from not having AED available. So, okay, I feel got a little goosebumps here. Let's go to scoreboard quick because we got to get to the next guest that's waiting patiently. Hopefully she's not lifting a couple of doing a couple of reps and sets over there, okay? So, all right, Thursday night. Okay, this is near and dear to my co-host's heart. Beach Bulldogs, 49, Johnson 0. Good shot at the playoffs there.
Oh, they pitched a shutout. Every game from here on out is a must-win for Beach High School if they're going to make it to the playoffs. And these kids are fired up in school. Unfortunately, I fire them up a little bit too much while they're sitting in my classroom, but that's all right. I love hyping them
she
up.
She starts talking about Tom Brady. Oh, my God.
49-0 against Johnson. They needed that win over the Atom Smashers.
And the Sharks, looks like their playoff hopes are very, very much dimmed with a 37-0 loss to Windsor Forest. In that region, everybody's playing everybody, and only four teams can make it. There are now five teams going for four spots. All right, so all right, let's go to Friday night. In 6A, doubleheaded down there in Glen Academy, in Glen Academy Stadium between the bricks, Richmond Hill comes up with a big upset. They beat Glen Academy 12-7. That was the 6 o'clock game, and then at the 9 o'clock game, Effingham faces Brunswick. Brunswick all over the Rebels 42-14.
How impressive is Richmond Hill High School?
Matt Lazar has done a great job. He's just taken that program and run with it after Coach Guy did a great job there. Coach Nick Fitzgerald. So, yeah, they're back. When I moved here, Richmond Hill was one of the better programs, and then they went through a lull,
right.
And now they're back making noise, okay? In 5A, tough one for the Phoenix. They go out and play Wayne County. They lose 52-16, but they've already won two region games. They're pretty much a lock for the playoffs.
That's awesome. I love when our local teams make the playoffs
right. Because
it really brings attention to the Savannah Chatham County, Effingham County, Bryan County area. We do have some really good football players and football teams here, and we need that attention because a lot of times Atlanta, those bigger counties and bigger cities get the attention, and we need the love here.
The ATL.
The ATL, that's right.
Okay.
We're the SAV, baby.
You got it. We're the 912. We're the Seaport. Okay, Ware County, 35, South Effingham, 3. South Effingham having a tough year. Southeast Bullet comes in and plays at Garden City. Beats the Rebels 55-6. Beats Groves in AA. Benedictine, 23 in a row. Beats Bingham County last night, 47-13. Bryan County goes out to Jeff Davis and gets beat 49-6. In Class A, Calvary had a tough time. Went down to Darien, played McIntosh County, but a lot of penalties, a lot of miscues, but they pull away. They come home. They drive back up I-95 with a victory, 21-14. Savannah Christian beats Portal, bounce back after that tough loss against Country Day, 31-6. Country Day still on a roll. They're beat Claxton last night 36-6. Skis at Bethesda goes and plays Hilton Head Christian, loses 36-12 in an afternoon matinee. And the one that we did here, the ESPN Game Day, high school game of the week, fueled by M-Market, PJ Zucco, Kevin Thomas, and myself, over there at Island, over there at St. Andrews on the Islands, Wilmington Island. It was a great game, 7-7 at halftime, but St. Andrews played in their own half the whole second half, and they couldn't pull it out. They lost 38-7. Both teams are undefeated.
Yeah, that's their first loss.
Yeah, they only gave up 6 points going into that game. So, but what you can take away with it, their defense got to play. It wasn't as bad as the score sounds. I was there.
Yeah, and you know what? Sometimes losing makes you thirst and hunger for winning even more so. You know, you got to lose to understand the feeling and the euphoria of what winning is.
Exactly.
So sometimes losses, and this is what I say about the Patriots when they lose, and my friends give me a hard time. Sometimes I'd rather them lose now than in the championship, right, in the Super Bowl. So
we got to change your mindset. We got to make you a Falcons fan.
I got friends that are trying to make me Philadelphia Eagles fans.
They're on a roll too. That's another story.
Yes.
All right. So let's go on, and then today I finished that. Okay. So today at 1 o'clock, Savannah High plays Jenkins, because we can't get into this, Melissa, now, but Memorial Stadium says we can't use the lights on Friday nights anymore, so they'll have to move all those games to Saturdays or rearrange the schedule. So Jenkins homecoming is today, 1 o'clock, against Savannah High. Last year, Savannah High and Jenkins went at it. Savannah High lost to Jenkins 21-20. Great game, so there should be a lot of festivities over at Memorial Stadium.
And that's our player of the week from last week, Des Brinson, hitting out there under center, going to try to do what he do and hopefully get a win for Savannah High. And
but Jenkins on a roll.
They, sure
they got the reputation as the best team in that region.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, I'm going to cross the river quick. I'll give you the, because we are now, Savannah Hilton Head, 92.7 FM. Well Branch clinches the Region 6A title with a 49-6 win over Garrett Tech. Hilton Head Island, who we're going to have on in the third segment, head coach B.J. Payne beats Stahl 41-14. They're still alive for playoffs. Cane Bay comes in, and Buford drops their second game, 49-33. Hilton Head Christian, like I said, all over Bethesda, 36-12. Wade Hampton beats Ridgeland Hardyville, 41-18. John Paul II, 28. Carlton Prep, 36 in two overtimes.
Wow.
So it was Carlton Prep, 36. John Paul, 28. Thomas Haywood also clinches a region title in Skeezer. They beat Palmetto Christian, 49-6. All right, so fitness first. Waiting on the line is your guest,
Trina Pinkney, the beast, the rock star.
Now, remember, you can listen to us on ESPNCoastal.com. Go to the internet, press the Savannah button, and the coach in Mekos will be right there. You can download the ESPN mobile app. Go to Savannah Hilton Head. We're right there. Okay, or you just go on your radio to 104.3 FM, 92.7, or 1400 AM. We're there. It's the coach in Mekos right here on ESPN Radio Savannah Hilton Head. Cody, take it away. We'll be right back.
Now, back to the Carl DeMasi Sports Report on ESPN Radio.
Cut this. And today's show is right here on ESPN Radio, Savannah and Hillhead. I'm Carl DeMasi. It's the Carl DeMasi Sports Report, and it's the Coach and Mekos. And this is our brand new segment, Fitness First. Of course, you know, Melissa, she's dabbled in everything. She was, of course, a TV on-air personality with sports reporter, and then now she's a teacher. But now she's really into the CrossFit and fitness, and she's trying to get the big guy here into the gym, the CrossFit gym. I will visit it. Whether I participate or not is another thing, but she's got a great story, okay? And this lady has done a lot with CrossFit, weight training. She's won, or she's placed fourth in the last tournament. She is now joining us on the ESPN Radio Savannah Smiles mobile hotline, and CrossFit weightlifting athlete Trina Pinkney. Trina, thanks for joining us, and once again, you got to deal with Melissa right now. It's the coach of the Mekos, but this is Mekos spot.
Yes.
All right.
Trina's oh, way too familiar with me. We were on a CrossFit competition team, and Trina, love having you on the show. Very, very excited to have you to speak to our audience about your fitness journey. First, tell me how you started to get involved in CrossFit and the weightlifting.
I got involved with CrossFit back in 2013. It was interesting because I was doing a kind of a weight loss program that they were doing in the city of Savannah, and CrossFit Steadfast was giving out a free week. But I also knew two people that went there, and they encouraged me to come. So I went one weekend, you know, we didn't pick up any weights or anything. It was a lot of cardio. And I decided, okay, I'm going to come back Monday and see, well, see what else would happen. So I was like, well, I got this one free week, so I might as well test it out. So I did, and basically we had deadlifts one day, and I just that was it. I just fell in love. It was like, oh, okay, this is cool. I found something I like.
Love deadlift. Love the deadlifts.
Yeah, love the deadlifts. So so that's how I kind of became involved with CrossFit, and it was just kind of like a kind of a love hate and love relationship ever since. So.
And you're an but you're an athlete. You know, you've been involved in sports. You worked for ESPN for a bit, and you also played women's professional.
Whoa! You worked for ESPN. Where'd you do that, Trina?
I worked for ESPN for 5 years in Bristol, Connecticut.
The big home of ESPN. Wow.
Yeah. So I love sports. I worked for CNN Sports Illustrated when I got out of college for a while. So
nice.
My thing. Yeah. So. But yeah, I did.
And before Melissa gets into all the little questions, also you played a little football. We had the Savannah Hurricanes rep Tony Campbell on last year. Tell us about your little adventure with the Sabres.
Sabres.
Thinking of Tigers. Yeah. That's where I'm going today. The Sabres.
The Savannah Sabres. So before I got into CrossFit, I did play for 4 years with the Savannah Sabres. Nose tackle. I kind of played a lot of positions. It was up and coming. It was growing. It was a lot of hard work, let's put it that way, but I really wasn't, like, as healthy as I wanted to be, so that's when that weight loss journey started. And it was fun. I mean, it was hard knocks fun, full tackle, gear and everything. People think it's easy. It is not.
Hey, I'm looking at your pictures. You are my favorite number, 77.
Oh, yeah. Lucky number 7.
You got that right.
You know, what's really cool about Trina is she told me a story last night that I'd never heard before about getting into the weightlifting competitions. And, you know, recently this past weekend, you placed 4th in your age group at the USA Powerlifting Raw Nationals. Now, this is no joke. That was in Orlando. And you were going up against the best of the best. Talk to me about that competition and what got you involved in Olympic weightlifting competitions?
Well, what got me involved is like last year. I did a competition in January, Wad to Wad. I enjoyed it, but I was like, man, none of the competitions I was entering had deadlifts in them. I was like, I really want a competition that had deadlifts. So I went online when I got back, and I looked up deadlift competitions, and the Georgia Spring Open came up, and it was going to be in Savannah, Georgia. So I was like, I told the coach there, I told Brian, I said, I want to do this. He said, well, we'll get you ready. You know, you've gotten this, you got that. I didn't have the bench stuff down, but the back squat and the deadlift I had. So we got ready for. I got ready for it and went, won 2 gold medals in the open and in the masters division, and that's pretty much all she wrote after that. And I started doing more competitions. I did a national competition last year, and got 2nd place in my masters and my age group. So, and I've just been doing it ever since. It's a lot of hard work. I mean, you got to find a time, and then you got to take care of yourself at the same time. You know, a lot of self-care just to kind of keep going, you know. That's a lot on your body.
You mentioned self-care. Trina is a massage therapist, and I don't think you can massage yourself, but I've had your massages before. They're the best of the best. Balancing Touch Massage Center is amazing. And, you know, you give a lot back to the community as well. You do a lot with St. Baldrick's. You shave your head. Talk a little bit about that as well.
I like to be involved in the community in many different facets, and kids are big for me. I do like going to volunteer and doing stuff for cancer research for children and adults. We got Barbells for Boobs for women going on now. I like to give out, you know, I like to donate to charity, so I do donate a lot of gift certificates for massages so charities can raise money for different things in the community. So I'm out there, you know, here and there whenever I have time to help. So
And once again, you're listening to the Carl DeMasi Sports Report. It's the Coach and Makos. We're in fitness, our fitness first segment. This will start off every show on Saturday morning. And joining us on the ESPN Radio's Savannah Smiles Hotline is CrossFit weightlifting athlete Trina Pinckney. On October 15th, she took fourth place at the 2017 U.S. Power Weightlifting Raw Nationals for age group 84 kilos, which is what, about 200? How much weight is that?
That's a little over 185 pounds, I think.
See, I was going to times it by two. I was close. Okay, so, and of course, great job. My question for you, we got 2 minutes to go here, Trina. My question for you is, the routine, what is the routine like that you need to do to make yourself a competitive weightlifter? And, yeah, I mean, a marvelous story. I mean, 285, you lost a ton of weight. You started to do this because, and people don't realize that weight training is a very good exercise to lose weight. So what was the routine you used to, you know, to get yourself bigger, faster, and stronger?
When I first started to get bigger, you know, faster and stronger, it was more or less for football and to feel healthy running up and down the field and tackling people. And now it's more, you know, with the powerlifting, it's more of a lot of mental, you know, and a lot of strength goes into it. So I set out to, you know, say, okay, I'm going to work out four times a week. You know, when I first started CrossFit, it was like, okay, I'm going to work out as much as I can. But that wasn't the big part. The working out is only part of it. Your big part is the food that you eat. You know, what are you fueling your body with? So that was number one, was changing my diet. And so I started doing the paleo diet, where it's more meat and vegetables.
The caveman.
And not a lot of sugar.
Right.
You know? So the sugar is what really will attack you. You know, it'll bring you down. So it's trying to keep that pace. You know, yeah, you're going to fall off here and there, but you just get back on the
way. Right.
You know? So that, and then, you know, you got to take care of yourself. You know, do the Epsom salt baths. You got to stretch and mobilize. You don't do any of that, your muscle starts to draw up. You know, you start getting cramps. You start tearing things. You know, you're gonna have some little injuries here and there, and that's just normal. You know, but weightlifting, you know, I think everybody should do it. Keep you strong, keep you walking. Just don't quit exercising when you start.
Well, you know, you said it. I mean, I've been teaching personal fitness and health all my life, 31 years as a teacher, 35 as a coach. Exercise and diet go hand in hand. All right, here's Melissa to throw the last question at you.
Trina, your back squat, 325 PR, bench 193, and 446 PR for a total of 964. You go into these competitions, and what's a PR? It's a personal record. Talk about the amazing feeling that is when you go into these competitions. Not only do you succeed, but you pass your own expectations.
I, you know, when I set out, I have these goals, and sometimes they're very lofty. And sometimes, you know, you just kind of, you know, when you go out there, you know, I tend to kind of screw up my first back squat all the time. You know, when you go out there, it kind of sets the precedent. You know, you don't make that first one, but you're like, okay, I got to make this second one, you know. But you got to look at your numbers. You're like, okay, what can I feasibly do to get on this board right now, and then also motivate myself for the rest of the, you know, for the rest of the tournament? Because just missing can bring you down so many notches. Somehow you got to find it inside of yourself to bring that, you know, get back on that horse, you know, because it is, it's emotionally draining, yeah. Mentally draining, and of course physically draining. So it's a lot of mentalness in this game, you know, not only your strength, but mental, you know, and that's one thing I learned. And when I choose those numbers, like, you know, I want those numbers, but like in this competition, I didn't get the numbers I wanted, you know. I had to like back off and say, okay, we just need to do this, let's do that, you know. And luckily I had a coach that I'd never used before to kind of understood where I was, you
that's
know, at the
awesome.
Time.
You are awesome. Last question, what's next?
What's next? I think it's the Georgia State Championships. That's going to be in Norcross, Georgia in February.
Awesome. Trina, we are going to follow you. We're going to keep tabs on you. We appreciate you so much for coming on the Carl DeMasi, the Coach and Makos. Thank you so much for joining us.
Trina, great job, great story, and once again, I'd like to be where you are right now, so maybe I will have to visit that CrossFit gym and see what happens.
Yeah, come and work out with me, man.
You got it.
Thanks, Trina.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that's Trina Pinkney. I mean, fourth in the last Raw CrossFit, the last Raw weightlifting competition in Orlando. She finished fourth in her age group. I mean, just a great story. 285 pounds, and you said she looks unbelievable. I bet looking at the pictures, she doesn't look she looks still like half the size of the person right now.
She is solid. She's a solid, pure muscle. She's just amazing. And the best thing about Trina is she's an amazing athlete, but she's an even more amazing soul and person.
Hey, beast mode. That's get in there and do it, okay?
She's Gucci.
Next up, hopefully we get in touch with BJ Penn, the head football coach at Hitland Island, the Seahawks. Big win last night against Stahl. They still got a chance at the playoffs. You're listening to the Coach and Makos on the Call of the Monster Sports Report right here on ESPN Radio Savannah Hilton Head. Take it away, Cody.
Now back to the Carl DeMasi Sports Report on ESPN Radio.
And welcome back to the Carl DeMasi Sports Report right here on ESPN Radio Savannah Hilton. It's the Coach and Makos. And we're talking a little weight training. We're talking fitness first. Now we're going to get into another sport with an F.
Football.
We're going to go into a little football. And we are now your source for sports over there on Hilton Head Island on ESPN Radio Savannah Hilton Head 92.7. So they're hearing the same thing you hear over here in Savannah. And, I mean, I got to start off. Why not start off with the football coach? Hilton Head High School, the Seahawks. I mean, they've been on an upswing. This man has come in and done a great job. He's joining us now on the ESPN Radio Savannah Smiles mobile hotline, the head coach of the Seahawks. That's the Hilton Head High School Seahawks, BJ Payne. Coach, thanks for coming on, and once again, big win last night over Stahl.
It was. Thank you for having me. It was a good win. You know, you never know exactly what you're going to get when you get off the bus after a 2.5-hour, 3-hour bus ride. Something that after 6 years I'm still getting used to. our kids came out, started off a little sluggish, but then challenged them at halftime, and they responded accordingly.
Well, I mean, great night. Yeah, your quarterback threw 3 touchdown passes. Deshaun Rogers scored 3 times. Pretty impressive. The offense was big time. Right now you're 4-4 overall, 1-3 in region play. But let's get the people over here on the other side of the bridge and hopefully the people in Hilton Head. Let's talk about BJ Payne, where you're from, how you wound up on Hilton Island. I know you're a snowbird, but I'm only joking, Coach. But tell us about BJ Payne.
The brief bio. I was an Army brat. I was born at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. When I was 5 years old, my dad was done with military, and my parents decided that they were going to move us somewhere to literally to play football. I was the afterthought, as I always say. I was young, four with 2 older brothers, 10 years and 9 years older than me. My mom went and visited 5 places across the country where she was going to raise her boys, and she went to Massillon, Ohio as stop number 3 and never went to visit 4 and 5 because she fell in love with Massillon. She came back. We loaded a U-Haul, moved there, and never looked back. So I went to high school and played at Massillon, high school, D. Maslin, and after that went on to play college football at Mount Union. Was a part of a dynasty there that was pretty special. We were 54-1 in 4 years, sorry, with 3 national championships. And then did a little curveball action and went into the sports entertainment realm and world of professional wrestling and signed with the WWE, and I was with them for 4 years. Had a neck injury and had to retire. Started teaching and coaching at Glen Oak High School, where I had several great players like Mike Hartline, Brian Hartline, Dustin Fox. Then went from there to I was there as a defensive line coach for 3 years. Became the head coach at Lexington High School outside of Mansfield, Ohio for 6 years, and then ventured to the south for IP, and it's gone well. Absolutely love being here. Love the type of kids that we have in our building, both football players and students, and absolutely love it here.
Coach, quick question for you. Why high school football? You could have gone to the collegiate level. You could have pretty much gone wherever you wanted. What was it about high school that has drawn you to the sidelines for the teeny boppers, so to speak?
Well, I think, you know, with that, I've been very fortunate to have, you know, a number of opportunities, whether it be high school or collegiate. I truly love the high school athlete. I think you're still you know, you're molding young men, you're changing lives. I think once you get to the collegiate level now, it's become such a business and become extremely difficult. Also on your families with the travel and, you know, there's such a turnover nowadays. I got a buddy who coaches pro ball, and he's been with four teams in 8 years. So I think it's a strain on your family, number one. But number two, I think more importantly, is that, you know, I truly love high school football. I say the greatest thing about America is JV football at high school level. I think it's as American as apple pie, because JV football is absolutely amazing. But just, you know, you get to mold men, you get to help them, you need to respond to different, you know, situations that kids are in, and you really get a chance to make a difference. And that's what has driven me to and kept me in the high school game.
And from what I read about you, what's really cool and what I really like about the high school scene is that you're not only a high school football coach, but you are entrenched in the community. Just talk a little bit about Hilton Head and what it's like in South Carolina to not only be a coach, but to be involved in the community as well.
Well, I think, you know, the biggest misconception, especially here in Hilton Head, is, you know, everybody gets confused by what the socioeconomic background is here and what the makeup is of the island. You know, there's no other way to put it. And, you know, I say it the way it is. You know, everybody assumes we're just a rich white school.
Right.
And they don't understand the diversity of what our school is. You know, when you break it down, it's not exact, but it's pretty close to where, you know, we're 40% white, 30% black, 30% Hispanic. And that always blows people away, that when they actually find out those numbers, they're very shocked by that. You know, 75% of our football team is on free and reduced lunch. 80% of our football team, you know, comes from a single parent or raised by grandma. And so you get the opportunity, you know, as a coach and as, you know, a person on our staff or within our building to, you know, you play a number of different roles. You're coach, sometimes you're dad, sometimes you're uncle, sometimes you're the older brother, sometimes you're just the person that listens. So you have to wear many different hats. And you know, it's the diverse community here and the diversity of our school is what I absolutely love about being here.
And this is, you're listening to the Carl Demasi Sports Report. It's the Coach in Makos. We're talking with the head coach from Hilton Head High School, B.J. Payne, on the Savannah Smiles Mobile Hotline. All right, Coach, I got to give you a two-minute drill here. We're up against the clock. Your football team, 4-4, 1-3. You still got a shot at the playoffs. Let us hear about the kids.
We have a young and a veteran team, more so you could use the term inexperienced across the year. Defensively, we've been, you know, pretty stout, and we've played well on special teams. Offense has been a work in progress all year with all new skill guys, but we've gotten better. Colin Kaiser's done a great job of playing quarterback and leading the charge. Sterling White is a kid who just needs a crease, and he can make anything happen. And Deontay Richard has been a guy on offense who's kind of, you know, been a do-it-all guy between quarterback, receiver, running back, doing everything defensively. Landon Jenkins, a linebacker, and TJ Johnson and Tyreek Young on the defensive line have really led us and done a great job.
Well, Coach, and you got a big game, of course, against Buford High School next weekend. What can we expect? We can expect a barn burger, a snobblocker. What are we going to expect?
I'm not sure how that's going to go out. You know, I think both teams have played, you know, good defense for the most part this year. I think we've both had our hiccups every now and then, but we've also, you know, had times where we can be pretty explosive offensively. I know one thing, whenever you play Buford, it's going to be a physical game no matter what they're running offensively, defensively. It's probably going to be, you know, it's going to be a very, you know, violent game. Actually, you know, it's going to be one of our top two physical games of the year, and you know, we have to be ready for that aspect. That's something that Buford brings every single game that they play in, and you know, we have to be ready to answer that bell.
Well, Coach, keep up the great work, and I'm happy to say that you are our first guest on ESPN Radio, Savannah Hilton Head 92.7, a Hilton Head guy coming across, well, really, Ohio guy coming across the bridge over here, but I know how you're feeling, Coach, and, you know, people, like you said, don't know about Hilton Head High School. They got that, you know, that pre-notion that, you know, Hilton High School is all money and everything else, but I've been to Hilton Head High School. I've played games against Hilton High School. Keep up the great work, and like anything else, Coach, you got a calling, and you love what you're doing, and like you said, JV football is probably one of the best fundamental games you can play.
And don't forget those $10 million homes on Hilton Head. Nobody lives in those.
Coach, appreciate it. Anytime you want to come on, give me a call, and we'll talk some Seahawk football, Seahawk athletics.
I greatly appreciate it. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach. And that's BJ Payne, the head football coach at Hilton Head High School. Seahawks does a great job, and you can tell he loves his kids.
It's so amazing. There's something special about us high school coaches and teachers. Nothing against middle school, nothing against elementary school. They're their own special snowflakes. I don't know how they do it, but when it comes to high school, he's absolutely right. We are more than just teachers. We are mom. We are dad. We are auntie. We are uncle. We are grandma. We are grandpa. We are psychologists. We are fill in the blank. That's what
you
we do.
You name it, we're the nurse.
And yes. You need a Band-Aid. Miss Mako says Band-Aid. It's absolutely. You need a Q-tip. I got one of those too. Yeah. I love the passion in his voice, and you could feel it through the radio, and you could feel it through the phone, and I absolutely love it. Coach Payne, stand-up guy.
And one thing, he's got a harsher voice than you do today. Yeah. All right, coming up next, we're going to wrap it up. We're only going to have about 3 or 4 minutes. I don't know if we're going to get into a national topic or a local topic. It's turn two right here on the call Sportsport with the coach and
Mikos.
We'll be right back after this. And it's all on ESPN Radio, Savannah Hilton Head. Take it away, Cody.
Now, back to the Carl DeMasi Sports Report on ESPN Radio.
And welcome back to the Carl DeMasi Sports Report. It's the Coach and Mikos. Yes, we're talking about local sports, national sports. I'm telling you right now, Melissa, this first hour, this first game flew by. I mean, Trina Pickney, BJ Payne from Hilton Head, Trina from CrossFit Steadfast or weight training. I mean, just flies by. We so far 2 weeks we're 0-2 because we never have time to take break down two trending points.
That's all right. I'd rather talk local sports. I'd rather get some of these athletes on here and get their stories out to our audience, everybody that's listening on 104.3 FM or 1400 AM and
92.7 in Hilton Head.
Yes, we just had Coach Payne on. He's amazing. Go to our Facebook page. Go to the Twitter page. Check him out. Check out Trina. We've got all up there on our social media. Check out the Snapchat, Coach and Mikos. Friend us.
Twitter us, whatever.
Get in touch with us.
We're going to start out every show after we get through local sports, local news, talk about what's going on in high school sports, local professional golf and everything else. We're going to start out with fitness first. So if you got a story about fitness and how it has changed your life like it has Trina Pickney, we'd love to have you on the show.
Absolutely. Get in touch with me. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter, Instag, as the cool kids call it, the
Snapchat. I'm on Snapchat now. I can't believe it. You know, Melissa last week. Coach, you got to go on Snapchat. That's the thing that everybody's doing.
It's all the cool kids are doing it.
Can I go back to MySpace?
No. As my students would say, that's lame, Miss Mikos. That's lame. That's not Gucci.
That's not Gucci lit. I used that on TV on the Tuesday Night Blitz, WSAV Tuesday Night Blitz content, and they started laughing. I didn't even know what I said. I just said, yeah, no, that's Gucci. Oh, they were talking about the outfits I wear. So, you know, of course, you know, old school. I had my blazer on, my yellow shirt, my khakis, and I said, yeah, I'm Gucci, and then that lit up the whole place. All right, we got about 50 seconds to go here. Coming up in hour number two, we're going to break it down, talk about local sports and local news. Then we're going to get into our Weatherington Chiropractic Clinic Athlete of the Week, Islands High School junior softball player, Miss Rebecca Davis, batting average of a 718. We'll let Mikos handle this one. This will be our first Weatherington Chiropractic Clinic interview, and then we'll wrap it up. Well, now we're going to wrap it up, and then we're going to talk about the Georgia Bulldogs. The Georgia Bulldogs second, of course, with Kevin Jackson, the former Bulldog.
And clearly Coach Jackson lets the dogs out. He answers the question, who let the dogs out? He did, because they are, 7-0, looking very Gucci.
And he has no problem with it. You're listening to ESPN Savannah Hilton Head. We'll be right back with the Carl DeMasi Sports Report with the Coach and Mikos. Stay tuned. We play two games here every morning, and it's a lot of fun having Melissa Mikos as my sidekick. We'll be right back after this. Stay tuned.
This has been the Carl DeMasi Sports Report on ESPN Radio Savannah Hilton Head, AM 1400 and FM 104.3.
Yeah. And welcome to hour number two of the Carl DeMasi Sports Report right here on ESPN Radio Savannah Hilton Head. And it's the Coach and Makos. Not that this has been, this is game number two.
Doubleheader, baby.
So if you heard the intro, no, we're not finishing. We're just starting number two. And, of course, I'm Carl DeMasi, and I'm here every Saturday morning now with my co-host, Melissa Makos, former WTOC sports reporter, TV anchor. Now she's like me. She's dabbing in the world of academia over at Beach High School, AE Beach High School. But you did start at Memorial Day School.
I did. I started in private school, Memorial Day School, the Blue Thunder. They were my first. They took a chance on me to coach and teach, and so appreciative of the people over there at Memorial Day School.
And I'll call them the Matadors. You can call them the Blue Thunder.
Blue Thunder, Matadors. It's kind of like Auburn. Are they the Tigers? Are they the War Eagle?
Who knows what they are?
Pick a mascot. Come on.
But anyway, we're right back here on ESPN Radio Savannah Hillman. We got a great lineup for the second hour. Of course, we'll open up, talk about local sports, local athletes that have done something or are doing something special. Then we'll get into quarter number two, roughly about 10:17. We'll have the Wetherington Chiropractic Clinic Athlete of the Week from Islands High School. Only a junior, second time on my show, but she deserves it. When you combat 7-18 in a high school softball season, that's pretty special. And talking to a former college, a collegiate softball player, that's pretty special.
You know, I was a pitcher, and I feel like I threw pretty hard.
But hold it. I went on the internet and surfed Melissa Mako. She didn't just pitch. There were some games that you had some big hits also, and they put you in the outfield or somewhere?
Yeah. I mean, I pitched all through high school and pitched my first 2 years in college. And then, when you pitch when you go to college and you play Division I, you specialize. And so if you're a pitcher, unless you're playing a position like an infield position, you're going to pitch one game, and we play doubleheaders. And I'm such a competitor that I wanted to be in the field, in the game at all times. So when coach said, hey, you want to be my starting right fielder full-time? I said, yeah. And so I gave up the pitching. And plus, honestly, I wasn't good enough.
Right.
I was good enough at one point, but once we started being more and more successful, winning Big East tournaments, all that kind of stuff. We were getting some recruits from California, from Texas, and we had some amazing pitchers, and they were just better than me. And so I took my talents to the outfield and had a good time with that. But yeah, when I was pitching in high school and a little bit in college, I would not want to go up against Becca Davis. I would not want to pitch against her because, actually, you know what? I would. I take that back. With that 7-18 batting average, I would want to strike her out, but I don't know if I could because of that 7-18 batting average, and her OBS is 796.
Yep.
That's like I said earlier, Xbox numbers.
You got that right.
Every time she gets up, it's a hit.
All right, just by the way, I'm going quickly. I know I'm going off tangent here again, but you know what? When I coached high school softball and had a girl I could throw, my best outfielder was my right fielder because one, they could catch the ball, and two, they had an arm. So, you know, that's not a bad little deal there playing right field.
You know, the misconception is that in right field is where you put your...
Hide your worst player.
Yeah, you can't really hide anybody in softball. And in baseball as well. I hate that misconception. But for softball, if you play right field, you're almost like another infielder because you play close to first base and you can throw people out at first base. I threw people out at center field.
Nice.
I mean, I'm sorry, center field. My throat's hurting me. I threw people out at home plate.
At home plate.
And at second base from right field. You do have to have a strong arm.
Just put me in center field, coach. Okay.
There you go.
All right, and then we'll finish it up. Last guest will be former Georgia Bulldog himself on the Georgia Bulldog Talk with Kevin Jackson. And then we'll close out the show if we have enough time to close out the show because it seems like I'm just as bad as Melissa. Melissa's just as bad as me. We just love talking.
Yeah, I like talking sports.
So, all right, so let's get into the scoreboard right away. We got to flip my page here. Go to my notes. Okay, we are your source for Atlanta Hawks basketball, Atlanta Falcons football, Atlanta Braves baseball, and, of course, UGA football and all the sports. Pro football, Falcons, 17-0 lead last week against the Miami Dolphins. They wound up losing 20-17. They take to the field tomorrow night, and it's right here on ESPN Radio Savannah for the Sunday night game of the week against...
The New England Patriots, the Super Bowl champs, five times over.
This girl just loves saying that. Just loves saying that. Well, I got to break her out of the habit because now she's got to promote the Atlanta Falcons. It's not just about your Tom Brady New England Patriots.
Listen, I'm a Tom Brady fan, but I was more of a Drew Bledsoe fan. But we'll get into that some other time.
Oh, but she also was a Matty Ice fan, Matty Ryan. But we got to convert her. She takes her digital image pictures with a Matt Ryan jersey on. So she's really a Falcons fan at heart, but she's not going to let you know that. Okay. All right. Pro basketball, the Hawks went down and lost to Charlotte 109-91. They'll play on the road tomorrow in Brooklyn against the Brooklyn Nets. Coney Island, you get some good
hot
dogs.
It's still weird for me, the Brooklyn Nets. I want to call them the New Jersey Nets. It's
all still right.
Weird
and I still want to call them the Long Island Nets. So that's back in the day. All right. College football, UGA is off to 7-0. They got a bye week, but we'll be talking about them a little while with Kevin Jackson. George Tech plays Wake Forest. Heartbreaker last week in Miami, also losing on a late field goal. They're 3-2. George Southern's on the road, back in Melissa's neck of the woods, up at UMass, 7:30, and the Eagles haven't soared yet. Neither Massachusetts. What are they called? The Minutemen.
UMass, right. Amherst. Yes, been to that campus quite a few times. Georgia Southern's going to get their first win tonight.
And she's calling it, and in Savannah State, goes on the road, goes right across the bridge, goes up the road to our sister city, and takes on Charleston Southern at 6 o'clock.
They need to get that first win as well, get that monkey off their back. Once you get that first win, sometimes it's all downhill from there, and hopefully the Tigers will get that W.
And we'll talk about SCAD. The women's soccer team is on the road in Florida, taking on Ave Maria. They play in the Sun Conference, NAIA. They're the women are 8-8, 7-1, 3-5 in conference play. The men finally broke their three-game losing streak. They won the other night, Wednesday night. I do apologize. I don't remember who it is. But they'll play home today, 12:30, go across the bridge, watch some college soccer as they take on Ave Maria. All right. And, of course, like I said earlier, we do have college bowling here in the city of Savannah. SCAD has a bowling team. Team went down to Florida. The women's team won the tournament and placed second in another. The team competed with University of Central Florida, Division I, major Division I school, University of South Florida. So second place for the ladies, fourth place for the men, pretty special. We do bowl here in Savannah, Georgia. And Desmond Brinson last week from Savannah High, our player of the week.
He's a bowler. Listen, we got to get ourselves some SCAD B's bowling shirts. I'm calling it right now. Come on, SCAD, get us the hook up with these bowling
shirts.
I got
a connection. I'll get you.
That would be pretty cool.
Okay. All right. And PGA, they're still playing. Gene Sowers is at the Dominion Energy Charity Classic in Richmond, Virginia. He's tied for 8th, 3-under. He's 3-under and 2 shots off the lead with a 69. Brian Harman is playing at the CJ Cup and Nine Bridges Golf Tournament in Korea.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Oh, man. Okay. And he's tied for 10th after 3 rounds. He's at 5-under, 4 off the lead. But who is he leading?
Justin Thomas.
The best golfer in the world.
That's right.
PGA Tour. Latino American Tour. We got two guys playing down there in Peru at the Lexus Peru Open. Mark Silvers is tied for 13th, former Country Day Gamecock golfer, tied for 13th, 2-under. Tim O'Neill, former Jacksonville State golfer, he's tied for 57th at 2-under. All right, let's go to the scoreboard. And I left this out. I'm not going to start with football scores. I got to send out a big kudos to these young ladies. Today is the Elite Eight Volleyball Tournament, and we got teams playing. Effingham travels to Harrison County in the 6-8. The 6A classification. In the double A, St. Vincent's will host Rayburn County at 3 o'clock. In the single A, Calvary, who is seated second, will host St. Francis at 3 o'clock. And Savannah Arts Academy is on the road. They're playing North Hall out of Gainesville.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then softball, which is near and dear to your heart, they're playing the tournament down here in Columbus, Georgia. Effingham County is the lone Savannah area team, and they take on Altoona at 11 o'clock.
Love me some softball competition, especially when we got our next guest coming on.
You got it. So, and we got 2 minutes to do the high school football scoreboard. Thursday night game, Beach Bulldogs 49, Johnson nothing. Windsor Forest 37, Islands 0. We go to the Friday night games. Doubleheaded down there at Glen County Stadium between the bricks. 6A football. In the first game, Richmond Hill pulls off a big upset. I didn't think it was an upset. I think Richmond Hill is very good. They beat Glen Academy 12-7. Effingham plays the nightcap against Brunswick, lose 42-14. In 5A, New Hampshire travels out to Wayne County, loses 52-16. South Effingham goes to Ware County, loses 35-3. In 3A, Southeast Bullet comes in and takes on Groves at Garden City, beats the Rebels 55-6. In AABC, 23 in a row, they knock off Bacon County 47-13. Homecoming, it was their homecoming. And Jeff Davis beat Bryan County 49-6. In single A, Calvary went down to Darien to a McIntosh County Academy, lost 21-14. Savannah Christian hosted Portal. Homecoming there, they won 31-6. Country Day stayed home again. They beat Claxton 36-6. In Skeeza, Hilton Head Christian beats Bethesda 36-12. And our ESPN Game Day High School Game of the Week, fueled by M-Market, St. Andrews hosted First Baptist. Both teams came in undefeated. St. Andrews had only given up 6 points all year. First half, it was 7-7. Well, First Baptist lived in St. Andrews' territory the whole second half. They wound up beating them 38-7. Today, 1 o'clock, Savannah High takes on Jenkins. It's Jenkins' homecoming. So we also got the I lost my paper. You got the Hilton Head scores there?
Coming up. Stand by.
There we go. I found it. Okay, over the bridge, because we are now on 92.7. Here are your Hilton Head High School scores, or your South Carolina High School League and Skeezer League scores. Well Branch beats Garrett Tech 49-6. They clinched the Region 6A, 2A championship. Hilton Head Island, the Seahawks, which we just talked to B.J. Payne, the head coach, beat Stahl 41-14. Playoffs are still alive. Cane Bay beats Buford. Buford drops two in a row, 49-33. Hilton Head Christian, like I just said, against Bethesda, 36-12. Wade Hampton, 41. Ridgeland Hardyville, 18. John Paul II loses to Carlton Prep in two overtimes, 36-28. Thomas Haywood wins their region, the Skeezer Region 2A title, beating Palmetto Christian, 49-6. Okay, next up, we're going to talk a little softball with our Weatherington Chiropractic Clinic of the Week. This young lady hit 718 for the season. She was at 781 at one point, so they just reversed the one and the eight. But I'm telling you, unbelievable season. She's only a junior. Two-time Weatherington Chiropractic Clinic Athlete of the Week from Islands High School, Rebecca Davis. You're listening to the Carl DeMasi Sports Report. It's the Coach in Makos right here on ESPN Radio, Savannah, Hilton Head. Just remember, you can listen to us on the internet at ESPNCoastal.com. Click on the Savannah button. Download it on your smartphone. Believe me, my phone's smarter than me. And go to the little headphones and go to Savannah Hilton Head. And it's also on TuneIn Radio, WSEG Savannah. Then, of course, just tune in on your radio dial. Now, there's three spots you can go now in Savannah, AM 1400, FM 104.3, and in Hilton now at 92.7. We'll be right back with the Weatherington Chiropractic Athlete of the Week. Take us away, Cody.
Now, more Carl DeMasi on ESPN 104.3 WSEG.
And welcome back to ESPN Radio Savannah Hilton. I'm Carl DeMasi. It's the Carl DeMasi Sports Report. It's the Coach and Makos. And this is a special segment for me. I love doing this. This is where we bring on the good kids, kids that have done special with athletics. And if you have somebody, like I say every week, I'm a broken record, please give me a call. Here's my personal number. Here's my cell phone. Never shuts off. 912-507-9158. Tell me about your kid. Text me. And let's get him on the radio. Let's get him a little more publicity. And you can go to my Facebook page, the Carl DeMasi Sports Report. You go to Melissa Mako's page and nominate him there. You can go to her Snapchat, Instagram. I don't know. She's Miss Social Media Queen. She'll tell you all about it. But, I mean, what can I say? This girl is special. Yes, I teach at Islands High School. I've watched her grown since she's been a freshman. And I'm just telling you, unbelievable season. I mean, 781 on the baseball field, a slugging percentage of 1.487, on-base percentage of a 796, 28 hits, including seven doubles, four triples, five home runs, and I think five of them over the fence?
No, I haven't over the fence.
None over the fence, but they're inside the park home runs and 41 RBIs. She's been a Savannah Morning News first team, all greater Savannah softball player for the last 2 years as a freshman and sophomore. I think she'd be a lock to do that again. All region player. So she's joining us now in the ESPN Savannah studio, Savannah Mall studio. She's this week's Weatherington Chiropractic Clinic Athlete of the Week junior from Islands High School, Rebecca Davis. And you know what? I've already interviewed her because she won this last year pitching, right? Is that why I had you on pitching? Well, this year it's because you're hitting, but I'm going to turn it on over to the old softball player. She's not really old, but she knows a little bit more about softball. My sidekick now, it's Melissa Mako's.
All right, we are Facebook Live-ing this, Carl, so...
Go right ahead.
Hold on, let me get these head...
You got to turn around.
Oh, yeah, all right, you got to turn around a little bit. We're Facebook Live-ing. I'm trying to teach Carl the... hold on, let's turn around. The ways of the... social media. Becca, so thankful to have you here. As a former softball player, Division I softball, so impressive, your numbers that you've had so far. Just talk about what your off-season routine is like, because we all know that it doesn't happen during the season. The hard work goes in the off-season. What is your workout regimen like?
I normally just hit, and I practice hitting. I got a new bat this season, thankfully, but I normally hit. I go pitch with my dad. I work on some fielding, and just pretty much it. Just work as much as I can.
718. I'm surprised that other teams aren't walking you. do you find that other teams are intimidated by you when they're pitching against you? Do they know what your batting average is? Do they understand that every time you put the bat in your hand that you're more than likely to get a hit?
I'm not sure. I don't really ask them, so I don't know.
Tell me when you started playing softball.
I started playing when I was like 8 years old. I mean, That's as much as I can remember. I just remember that because it was my first real team, and that was my number, 8, and that's always been my number since, except whenever I got high school.
What's your number in high school?
11.
You should be 21. 21 is the cool number. So you were 8 years old when you first started playing. When did you realize that you had the talent to take it to the next level?
Probably whenever I got into high school and I was pitching as a freshman, and then this year my hitting just went skyrocketed, and so that's whenever I started to realize, oh, I probably could end up playing in college.
Was there one specific memory that stands out for you this year thus far?
Whenever we beat Jenkins for the first time, that was an amazing experience. So,
and what was it like beating Beach?
I teach at Beach. He likes to rub that in my face a little bit. Your season so far, has it lived up to your expectations?
Yeah, we played 15 games whenever we were supposed to play around 30.
Because of the weather,
we had so many cancellations. We couldn't play as many games as we wanted to.
And you're planning on taking your game to the next level. You're only a junior. I say only, but this is where the recruiting really starts to get hyped and coaches really start calling your coach. Where would you like to play, and do you want to go back to pitching, or you strictly want to hit and stay in the field?
I like pitching. I've been pitching for 5 years now, so I'd like to stay pitching, but if I have to hit and stay in the field to play in college, I'll definitely do it.
Yeah, that's what I did. Pitching wasn't as good in college as I was in high school, so it was all about being on the field for me. Where do you want to go, or who's been showing some interest in you?
I want to stay in Georgia, but if I have some offers out of state, I'd love to, but I mean, I don't really know yet. I haven't started looking that deeply into it.
Coach was getting on the Twitter and getting on his Snapchat and his Instagram talking to your coach a little while ago, and he mentioned that Mississippi State, Longwood University, and the Georgia College have all had some interest in you. If you had to pick between those three, what's your thought process?
Georgia College is closer to home, but Mississippi State has a beautiful campus, and I love the coach, so...
And now, we wouldn't be talking about playing sports in college if it wasn't for academics, because I like to stress the student athlete.
Yes.
Your grades are amazing. Talk about how it is to balance the two, academics and athletics.
I have to stay focused. Whenever I come home from practice, I have to go straight to do homework. And then if I have time to practice after, like go home and do drills and stuff, I'll do it and I'll think about it and I'll watch videos of how to do stuff. But I'll do as much as I can, but it's homework comes first.
And your parents are here, your brother's here. Obviously, you've got a great support network. How important is friends? You've got some friends. Your fan club is here. How important is that family support and that support from your teammates and from your friends?
It definitely gives you a different drive, saying that they'll always have your back. So.
Yeah, that's definitely important. Next year, senior year.
Yes.
How stoked are you for your senior year? And do you have you set goals? Have you set expectations for what you want to accomplish next year?
Not yet, because I don't know what we're going to be doing. Because I know we're having a lot of people that are moving or they're leaving. So we're really just going to try and continue to build the program up and do as much as we can.
Do you feel, and this is just kind of my personal question, do you feel a little handicapped by playing in the fall, since most states play softball in the spring, baseball's played in the spring? For me, it was weird when I first moved to Georgia that softball was played in the fall. I'm like, yeah, fall ball, okay, that's cool. Do you feel that kind of hinders you when it comes to the recruiting process?
I mean, not really for me, since I play travel ball.
Okay.
So, I mean, not for me, but I feel like for other people it may.
You talk about travel ball. Who do you play for travel ball?
Angels.
Yes, the Angels. How important is playing travel ball in terms of getting recognition for playing at that next level?
I personally love it, but it might not be for everybody. But I think it's huge for recruiting, because it gives you, you're playing the entire year. It's not like you're playing like 3 months out of the year and then 9 months not. You're playing for pretty much the whole year. You're always practicing. You're building your game up more and more.
Did you, in terms of getting your game right, take lessons? What did you do? Because this doesn't just happen.
Yeah.
Like you were mentioning, you have to practice your craft. Mm-hmm. And games are won and lost, in my opinion, in the off season. Mm-hmm. So what did you do in terms of lessons? And how much did that take away from maybe your social life?
I would have hitting and pitching lessons. I went to this lady named Kissy Brasol.
Yes, yeah.
We went to her for probably like probably a year, and I had hitting lessons and pitching lessons, and my hitting definitely improved, and my pitching definitely improved, and my dad helped
me. She said her hitting improved. This girl's batting 718 with an on-base percentage of just under 800. I'd say success right there. Again, a 700 batting average. Did you ever expect to be hitting so well? I mean, that, like we were talking earlier, that's Xbox numbers. That's not even, that doesn't even sound human.
I wasn't expecting it. I was just trying to get on base as much as I can and make contact with the ball. So that's what my goal is.
I think Carl has a couple questions for you. Carl, you want to step in here?
You want the teacher come back?
Yeah, sure. I'll take it over here from the Facebook Live. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've gone almost through the whole segment, and, you know, Rebecca, we did this last year, and, you know, I just love watching you play, and, you know, you got to be modest about it, because when Coach Nick Pugh is the head coach at Islands High School, asked you to play the shortstop because he told you that's what the team needed, what was your reaction to that?
At first, I was kind of upset because, like, pitching, I've been pitching for 5 years, I wanted to pitch, and then I realized the team needs me to play shortstop, so I'll play, and I'll do my best, but I did as much as I could.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've done a great job, and I'm going to put you on the spot here, okay? And we got people looking in the window here, looking in the back door. Okay, so of all your teammates, who are you the most proud of this year and why? I'll put you on the spot.
I'd probably say the freshmen and the people that just came in this year, because they've bought into our program and it succeeded very well.
Well, I'm not going to let you get away with it, but there are three seniors that are pretty special to you that have been with you through this whole thing.
Oh, yes.
Let's talk about Jennifer Freeman.
Yes.
Okay, I always mess her name up. Marissa Bodenrader. And, of course,
Stevie Reagan. Yeah.
Tell us about the seniors.
Oh, man. I don't know what we're going to do without them next year. Jen plays third and has a great at-bat. She's our, I don't know, four or five hitter.
Cleanup.
Marissa.
Power.
Mm-hmm. Marissa
is
plays
Marissa.
Marissa's Marissa. She plays left field. She has everyone's back. She's there. And Stevie, oh my gosh, she's an amazing outfielder. I don't know what we're going to do without her next year.
Well, you know, they've helped get the program where it is. They came in with Coach Pugh, and they've done a great job. Mm-hmm. You've done a great job. Phenomenal season. And here we go. And we can add another one to your list. I didn't give you a T-shirt last time, did mm-hmm. I? I have new T-shirts being made, but the place closed down before I got there yesterday. So, but I will give you one in school on Tuesday when I go pick them up. But once again, you are this week's Wetherington Chiropractic Clinic Athlete of the Week. Rebecca Davis, batting average for the season, 718. On-base percentage, 796. Slugging percentage, 1.487. So pretty impressive this year, and keep it the great work, and we got another year to be together. You can do this a third time next year when you announce what college you're going to go to. Just keep up doing hard work. I know you'll be good. And once again, she's also a great student athlete. Only carries a 89, 90 grade point average. So, but anyway, the plaque from Dr. Bart Wetherington again, put it on your wall. And I promise you this time you'll also get a T-shirt, which I know you can wear proud and say, hey, I was on Coach's show again. Let's thank Dr. Bart Wetherington. Your back hurts. Another body part hurts all the time. It makes you mad. The pain drives you crazy. You just want to pick something up and throw it across the room if you can. At the Wetherington Chiropractic Clinic, you get complete chiropractic care, pain relief to help you move better, have a less painful life, and of course, achieve a healthier life. The Wetherington Chiropractic Clinic now is located in two locations on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, right there at Eisenhower Drive. That's 329 Eisenhower Drive, and in Pula, Georgia, at 114 Canal Street, Suite 603. So visit Dr. Bart Wetherington at the Wetherington Chiropractic for all your chiropractic needs. I'm a little nervous. Oh, you stopped doing the Facebook thing. Yeah, I wasn't nervous talking, but you got this one over here. Melissa, Facebooking, what do you call it? FaceTime?
Facebook Live.
But anyway, we'll be right back. We're going to talk a little Georgia football with the man himself, former Georgia Bulldog, 1980 national champion football player, Kevin Jackson. We're going to have the dog talk in a couple of minutes. Just stay tuned. You're listening to the Carl DeMasi Sports Report right here on ESPN Radio, Savannah Hill, Ned, and it's the Coach of Makos. We'll be right back after this. Cody, you know what to do. Take us away.
Now, back to the Carl DeMasi Sports Report on ESPN Radio.
No! And I'm Carl DeMasi, and you're listening to the Carl DeMasi Sports Report. It's the Coach and Makos. And Melissa, we just got done with the Athlete of the Week, and we're supposed to be doing the Georgia talk here, but it's a week off. I know it's their bye week, so we'll get Coach Jackson, Kevin Jackson, soon, former Georgia Bulldog player himself, and he's been doing the Georgia talk every week, predicting the scores. But anyway, let's go back to what we just finished with the Weatherington Chiropractic Clinic Athlete of the Week. It's so special when you get these kids to come in here, and, you know, I know she goes to my school, Rebecca Davis, Islands High School softball player. What blows my mind is, and we discussed this before the show even started, I don't care who she played, Beach, Savannah High, Johnson, whatever. She had to face Jenkins and Southeast Bullock. But the bat 7-18 in softball, I mean, it's pretty special. And I bet you some of those pitches, you know, didn't even get the ball. I wonder how many walks she had on the year.
That's crazy. I could imagine that a lot of teams would not pitch to her. So with that being said, the fact that she is batting 7-18 says a lot, because I'm sure she's not getting the best pitches to hit as is. As a former pitcher, I most definitely would not throw the ball down the middle of the plate. I would never do that anyway. But you're not going to pitch to her. You're not going to give her anything close to the plate. So that really speaks volumes for her athletic ability to be able to put that ball in play and put it where the players aren't, which is very difficult to do in baseball and softball, because it's 1 versus 9 in the field. Well, kind of 8 because you get the catcher, but regardless, you're putting the ball in play and you're batting 7-18. You're the best hitter on your team. You know teams are going to be leery of you and not give you the best pitches to hit, and she's still knocking it out of the park.
I mean, it's just phenomenal. I mean, you know, watching a play, and you know, you know, the fence is only 200 feet away from home plate in most high school softball fields. She still had 5 home runs, with none of them going over the fence. So 5 inside the park home runs. I mean, you got to hit the ball off the fence or put it somewhere where they can't get it.
Well, or she's got some speed on her. And if you look at her, she's built, she's cut. She clearly does her work in the off season, and it is not easy to hit home runs in softball. It's not easy to hit that ball over the fence, especially if you're not going up. And this, you know, this is going to sound a little weird. The harder they come in, the faster they go out. So we have some pitchers in here who throw hard. You put the bat on the ball and it's going to go far. But for most of the pitchers, you're going to have to put your hips into it, and you're going to have to use your strength to get that ball to go further. And you say most fences are only 250 feet. That's a lot in softball.
200 feet.
200. That's a lot in softball.
Right.
You know, they say a 70-mile-per-hour softball pitch is equivalent to a 90-mile-per-hour pitch in baseball. So, you know, it's still, no matter what anybody says, so impressive. And I know I might sound like a broken record, but what's even more impressive to me is her academics and her demeanor. And she, you could just tell she's a good kid, a good, wholesome kid. She takes her academics very seriously, and that's, to me, more impressive than that 7-18 batting average.
All right, let's go to the phone. Here we go. He's waiting on us. Just called in, so I have to call him, and that's, of course, Kevin Jackson. We're at the Georgia Bulldog Talk section, so...
He's hitting redial. I'm giving you the 411.
Gee, thanks. Tell everybody. They couldn't understand.
What's up, guys?
It's Kevin Jackson, and we're at the Georgia Bulldog Talk. There's no game today, and this is a weekly part of my show now. And, of course, my cohort, Melissa Makos, loves talking to KJ, as she's calling you there,
KJ.
Coach.
How are you, Coach?
Always doing great. You know, if I'm vertical, man, how's the team this morning?
Oh, we're having a lot of fun. We're talking to local kids, local sports, local athletes. You know what it's like, Kevin, just giving these kids a little more love. And I know you love talking about the kids as much as we do.
Coach, we were way off last week with our predictions. I blame myself. I think I jinxed it. But regardless, it was still a win for UGA. 7-0, baby. What were your thoughts on the game last week?
Well, first of all, we were all way off on our predictions.
I said 35-0.
I think Carl a video on the first drive that, you know, we had to dominate the first quarter. But let's look at that game and look at what and give Missouri credit, because in talking to the coaches, they had totally changed their game plan. They had max protected, you know, every game they had seen from the field side. So they went max protection into the boundary side. So, you know, we were trying to bring pressure from that direction. So they had a really good game plan, you know, for Georgia. And it was max protect, deep post. You know, it almost reminded you of a backyard game, you know, but you have to get the guy's got a, you know, 70, 75-yard-plus arm. and we weren't pushing the pocket like we needed to. So, but what was great about it to me is Missouri had a great offensive game plan, but what we did in the second half, I don't know if you saw how we adjusted. We went deep cover two, and that's what great teams do. And then what needed to happen to me is our offense woke up. And, you know, who would ever believe a game that would you have 684 yards total offense?
That's insane.
And that, to me, is when a team comes together and everything's clicking right now. And I'll promise you, an off week with Kirby Smart's coaching staff, it's like going back into the beginning of practice. It's been a brutal week. They practiced very, very hard, and you know, he just is a motivator, and it gives him another week of game planning. I thought the offensive line play improved. You know, Pittman, say what you want, go and look at the kids he's put in the NFL, one of the greatest offensive line coaches, and he has coached those kids up. And when you see each week we're progressing better and better and better, and to be in the position we're in, they play so hard. Or I mean, they literally play so hard, and then making the second half adjustments. But I did not see none of us saw that coming, but I'm glad it did.
It was a really good test for them, even though, you know, Missouri is not really up to their caliber. What I find a lot of times is teams tend to play down, or other teams tend to play up. Missouri had nothing to lose, and they went all out in that game, and it clearly showed by their play. They can't light a candle or hold a candle to Georgia. But when you're 7-0, 6-0 going into that game last week, you know you're going to get your best effort from every single team, regardless of what their record is, regardless of whether they're having a good season or a bad season. And clearly, Missouri came out to play. That's for sure.
And you know, on any given day, though, a Division I athlete's Division I athlete, and if you're not ready and you're not giving the effort, and that team, has more physicality or mentally. But I thought the physicality that picked up on this side of the ball was, I mean, Sony Michel. And he literally, Carl, he hit people harder running the ball than I've ever seen defenders get hit.
I mean, yeah, their running game was unbelievable last week. Okay, Coach, here we go. 7-0 start. History shows that usually this means a SEC title for Georgia. 1980, you were there. 1982, you were there. 2002, 2005, what do you think? We got an SEC title coming on?
You know, I think it's way too early to even talk about it. I'm taking it. I'm like Kirby, man. You take it a week at a time. You've got Florida has always been our nemesis. It's something that, you know, we haven't gotten past. We go down, we haven't played well there in years, and I think it's going to be a big test. I think the Gators are really going to be up, and I'd love to see a great showing. But I've never seen a team like Alabama in all the years with the depth of talent they have right now. And I mean, I know if you guys have watched them, I've been to Saban's practices. Kirby was there. You know, we have an office in Tuscaloosa. It would be a very, very tough game. And I hope by then we can play with them. Have you ever seen a more put together team than the University of Alabama right now?
They could be in the pros. They could be NFL now.
You know, Nick Saban, you know, it just kills me. And, you know, anybody, you know, we all know about redshirting a player, but gray shirting a player also. Alabama does that very well. So, you know, he talks about the sports agents being, you know, piranhas and everything else. This man's a piranha himself. I mean, he's going to go out and get the best, and he's going to put him on the bench so he can go 3-4 deep. And, you know, if you're a kid that wants to do that, then you're buying into the system. That's what he's doing. But we got some Georgia kids buying into the system too. You know that.
Absolutely. And we got some great recruits this week. That kid out of Rome, and then hopefully we can get that corner out of Miami that's come down between Alabama and Georgia. And we got, you know, Justin Hills. You got Zeus, running back. We got a big future, and that's what, if you notice this year, the difference in last year. Is the depth, Carl. The depth.
Oh, yeah.
And we're rotating them in, you know. And the other thing that I'm going to tell you, and I'll tell you right now, we are in condition. We're in shape. you look at the fourth quarter and that the strength conditioning coach, they've done a phenomenal job. And the practice, the tempo in practice, and I know that I was talking to a coach, and Coach Britt there, who, you know, with BC does a fantastic job, that and I would, you know, I think anybody would respect his opinion of what he's done at BC. My guys, the Kent Phipps, he's done, how he runs his program. He visited the practice, and when you can impress high school coaches of his caliber with that kind of practice, then you know you've done something. And I've been to the old practices and the old regime, and it's just night and day. You've never seen, and you and I know, you don't win the game on Saturday, okay? The game is won in preparation during the week. How you practice is how you're going to play. And you've never seen – I've never seen anything like it and since the 80s, the way that they go at it in practice, and they never let up. And the kids, when they start holding each other accountable, and, you know, the old Eric Russell saying, and he started it, you know, be thy brother's keeper.
Mm,
and
exactly.
That, you know, when you're in the weight room and you got a player in there, he only did 10 reps and he was supposed to do 15. And when the players start getting on to him – that's when you start building a championship team. That's what you're seeing now.
Well, you're there. You're living it, Coach. You go back up there Tuesdays, visit practice, and that's the meat of the day, or that's the toughest day of practice. That's the heart of the practice week. And I don't want you to get any predictions going yet, but we're going to come back here next week, do the same thing, and I know you're going to try and make up for what you didn't do last week, right?
Hey, look, but hey, you know, a W is a W, but I had no idea, man, we were going to score that many points and we were going to like give up that many. And all the experts were wrong, man.
They sure were. All right, Kevin, we're done this week, so we're going to catch it up. No predictions, but, you know, it's a big week next week against the Gators. And we're going to let you relive for our fans, our audience, what it's like playing for the Bulldogs during Gator Week next week. I appreciate you coming on. And once again, always a pleasure, and keep up the great work, buddy.
Thank you for all y'all do, man.
Thanks, Coach.
And let's keep it up. Thank y'all.
Hey, this is the fun part of the show. I mean, you're more energetic and faster going than I am, and I'm a New Yorker and you're not.
I'm just a Southern New Yorker, Carl.
Kevin, have a good week. I'll talk to you during the week.
You too. Thank you both.
I mean, Melissa, can you find a more passionate guy than a guy that went there, his alma mater, he played it. He's got a national ring, and he's still excited after 30 years.
I love it, and that's a true Bulldog, and that's a true fan and a true athlete. You know, they always say once an athlete, always an athlete. Doesn't matter when you stop playing, when you stop being competitive. You've always got that competitive juices within you. You've always got that athlete within you, and it's always going to come out in some way, shape, or form.
Just like you did with Rebecca Davis in softball.
Oh, yeah.
You were drooling at that.
That was exciting. I get excited seeing these young athletes because I know what it's like. I've been through it. I've been through that recruiting process, and I've been there in the trenches where you don't, just like Kevin said, he even reiterated it, you don't win games on Saturday. You
nope.
don't win games in the season. You win games are won and lost in the off season. It's what you do to prepare, and not only prepare, but they say practice makes perfect. Disagree. Perfect practice makes perfect.
Exactly.
I got all the cliches if you want.
All right. She can be, well, she was a coach herself, but we got to get a back coaching too. That's what they're missing around here. They need you on the softball field somewhere. Somewhere we got to find you a job.
It's possible.
It's possible. All right, we're going to wrap this up. You know, the 2 hours always go quick. You're listening to the Carl DeMasi Sports Report with the coach and
Mikos.
We'll be right back after this. Cody, take us away.
To the Carl DeMasi Sports Report on ESPN Radio.
And welcome back to the Carl DeMasi Sports Report right here on ESPN Radio, Savannah Hilton. It's the coach and Mikos. Melissa, we got 3 minutes and 20 seconds to go. So what can we talk about? Once again, I got to go back to the Fireball 400,
yes.
The baseball.
40. Fireball 40.
Fireball, what did I call it, 400?
Something like
that. What am I, NASCAR now?
Yeah.
The Fireball 40 in honor of, in memory of Corey Wilson, a Savannah guy that died too early at Georgia Southern, had AFib, and they didn't have an AED, and his mother have been, Kenny and Laura have been on a charity run here, and they've helped so many people, and it's just get out there and support them. Go to the Facebook page. I mean, it's just, you know, sports and charities go hand in hand.
It's amazing how much sports can bring a community and bring people together. Unfortunately, in this circumstance, in this situation, it's heartbreaking and heart-wrenching, but it is amazing what sports can do to help along with that healing process.
And, you know, it's his friends are out there playing. It's a baseball tournament, and all the money raised go towards getting AEDs in schools and public places. And like I said, to start the show off, I was walking down the hallway here and walking down the aisle, whatever you want to call it, here in the mall, and there's a big AED sign, and I thought about him right away because I know it's today. So Travis Jordan, who does Tuesday Night Blitz with me, sports reporter for Savannah Morning News, he's over there playing. All his friends are playing, so great cause.
Absolutely. Fireball40.org. If you can't make it out to the field for the tournament, the baseball tournament, go to their website, take a look at it, donate, whatever you can do. Spread the word. You don't even have to donate. Spread the word about AED awareness and getting AEDs everywhere and anywhere in case a situation like this arises again.
So, and you can go to the Fireball 40 Facebook page. You can find the link there for the website. Just get involved. I said I'd give a big shout out, of course, to my friend Beth Ulrich, who runs Girls on the Run. They have a big golf tournament next week. Go to Girls on the Run Savannah. Get involved in the golf tournament. If not, make a donation there, because that's a great... It's not just about running. They really get into it with the girls.
Oh, sports and females is such an amazing thing. I was going to volunteer for Girls on the Run a couple years ago, but when they changed our schedule, they changed Island schedule. We started at 8:30, ended at 4. I wasn't able to because they were doing the Girls on the Run at 2 o'clock after their school, the middle schools. And it's just amazing. It's not... Like you said, it's not just about the running and the sport aspect, but it's about that camaraderie. It's about building confidence for females. And when you can find success within athletics, it does so much for the confidence level, not just females, but males as well. And you really can start to come into your own finding success on an athletic field or a court or a track, anything of the sort. It's amazing.
We'll be back next week. It's the Coach of Makos right here on ESPN Savannah. And remember, whatever you may be doing, always hit it out of the park. Until next week. May your week be the best week ever. We're out of here. Great job, boss.
You too.
This has been the Carl DeMasi Sports Report on ESPN Radio Savannah Hilton Head, AM 1400 and FM 104.3.